Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
Hey, you.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. The Yankees disappoint at the deadline. The Mets sell at the deadline. And the Dodgers get their guy at the deadline. But we begin today's show with the trade deadline. The Major League Baseball trade deadline has come and gone. So, Z, which team do you feel made a move that really elevated their team during the trade deadline? Who went to a playoff team, to a championship team, to a non-playoff team, to be a playoff team? Like, who made an impact?
We're not talking about the elephant in the room. We'll get to him next.
No, we'll
get to him next. don't worry. Don't go anywhere. You're next. Of the teams I think that got better, I like what the Phillies did. I like the Phillies were able to get a contact hitter in Arias, and they brought in a lefty specialist in Brooks Raley. He's an effective pitcher, going to shore up that bullpen, because you cannot count on Jose Alvarado. You can't. It would have been nice if they got into the starting pitching market. It would have been nice if they beat the Padres to Robbie Ray. Or Casey Mize, for that matter. But hey, you know, like, you addressed a couple of issues. And here's where this is a good move. Because you're now moving Bryce Harper back to right field, his natural position. And look how much better your outfield is now. The question is it worth fucking up your entire infield?
Right. Everything's going to move around now.
Because Stott goes to third, Bohm goes to first, and Arias goes to second, because you're kowtowing to Arias, who wants to play second, who feels he's improved and has improved at second
base. He's a second baseman
who has poor defensive metrics in his career at second base. So they decided...
Stott's going to third.
So Stott's going to third, Trey Turner's staying at short. Honestly, you were probably better off trying to deal for a shortstop and move Trey Turner back to center. I feel like the best aspect of Trey Turner is his speed and his range, and you get the most out of him in center field. But you know what? Moving Harper out there is a good move. I think the Phillies got better. The Padres definitely got better.
Mm-hmm.
They shored up a wild card by trading... By keeping Miller, number one, keeping Miller, and then trading for Casey Mize and trading for Robbie Ray.
They have a new starting rotation.
They do. Absolutely.
New outlook on life. I don't know if it's great, but it's better than what they had.
It keeps them in the mix. They feel like they're in the mix. Maybe they see the Red Sox sweeping the Dodgers and saying, "We're in this thing," to quote the great Lou Brown. So... You never know with AJ Preller, because he can do what he did last year and trade the farm for Mason Miller, and then just start dealing other people.
Feel like they can compete with the Dodgers. They think they can.
A monkey's made a fly out of my butt. So
they're losing four games instead of three.
Right, exactly. They bought themselves a game, maybe two, with Casey Mize and Robbie Ray. I like what the White Sox did. I like bringing in Luis Castillo. He's not the Reds' Luis Castillo. Get it out of your mind that he's the Reds' Luis Castillo. He's not the ace. He's not going there to be the ace. He's going there to lengthen your rotation and provide a veteran.
Which was surprising. What the fuck are the Mariners thinking?
Well, they were also thinking about moving George Kirby. Like the,
yeah,
the,
I saw that.
They were open for business. Trainer yeah. Jerry was open for fucking business, well, he, as per usual.
Yeah.
So, I think that that is going to be beneficial for them, and that's going to keep them near the top in Major League, in the American League, I should say. And you know as well as I do that Freddy Peralta is about to have a 180 on his season. Going from the Mets to the Rays, he's going to find it. He's going to find it fast. And it's going to be a situation where David Stearns is going to look like an idiot. More of an idiot. Because you traded Sproat and Williams, two of your top prospects, and then got guys. You just got guys. You got middle-of-the-pack guys. I think one was like 22nd. One was 15th.
You talking about the Mets?
I'm talking about the Mets. Their return for Freddy Peralta. Mm. I get his down. And I get it. I understand that. But
I don't know what you're looking at, man. He hasn't looked great, man.
He hasn't looked great.
I don't know what you were thinking you were getting. I don't know what the market was for him. I was assuming that the Brewers wanted him back. I would think they wanted
him back. The Brewers didn't do jack shit in the starting market. They got Dustin May. Who would you rather have, Dustin May or Freddy Peralta?
That was a fail.
That's a major issue.
I'm almost wondering if their inability to Tarik Skubal, you know, kind of shit their bed for them. They're like, fuck. You know, kind of like one of those.
By the time they pivoted, it was already over.
Right,
Peralta was already away.
That happened on Saturday.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, you're like, what the fuck are we going to do now?
Right. So then, you know... And the Cubs got better.
And then Gausman's gone. It's like, God,
Gausman's a Cub. Clay Holmes is a Cub.
Shit.
They got better. The Cubs absolutely got better. So be very careful about what you see in your rearview mirror because objects are closer than they actually are.
I just think I think they were just trying too hard for Skubal and they kind of lost the meter and everything else. And everything else just started to happen. And you're like, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
But who was on yours? Like what made your ears perk up?
I mean, you're gonna laugh, but to me, it's Tampa. Think about what they were able to do. They were able to get a good. Listen, I understand. Fred, I think change of scenery for Freddie's gonna go a mile.
Okay? He's gonna be great. He's gonna be great for them,
and he's going to be pitching in a division that he can handle. And I think there's low expectations, low pressure in Tampa Bay. And then they go and get Liam Hicks. They block the Yankees from getting a catcher. They go get a catcher. Are you kidding me? 14 home runs, .282 average. Are you kidding me? Like that to me was the move. That to me that made them. I'm seriously considering them being a contender for the American League after that because. You've got a good rotation. You guys score runs. You put the bat on the ball. Now you have a catcher that can hit, and now you have your other starter. You're ready. You can go. You go into a 3-game series with the Yankees, and you are ready. Okay, you're ready now. To me, that was the best. I appreciate the effort the Cubs put forward. They understand their assignment. We need to line up our pitching. With these assholes, you know, that's what they know that they know the assignment. They know that they got to get there, but the way we're going to get there is we're going to have to pitch, and we're going to have to pitch to the Phillies. So how are we going to pitch to the Phillies? This is what we're going to have to do, like you know. But to me, it'd be Tampa, and the number 2-1 is the Phillies. You ain't got Luis Arraez. It's going to mess up your infield, but you now have someone to bat in front of Schwarber. So when Schwarber comes up and hits a home run, it's a 2-run home run now.
Right.
It's not just a solo shot because he's going to get on base. It's a no doubt he's going to get on base. And I'm surprised the Yankees didn't go get him because he gets on base. He's a leadoff hitter that gets on base. So to me, those are the top three.
We'll get into the Yankees later.
Yeah. I really think that, like I said, I think the Phillies... have know what their mission is. They decided to go for the leadoff hitter instead of the pitcher. Cool. The Cubs were like, all right, we're going to get pitching. And then the Rays were like, okay, we're going to get a pitcher and we're going to black the Yankees. We're going to get a catcher. And that's where I see it.
Yeah. I mean, the Yankees are definitely the odd man out. And Hunter Goodman did not move. The Rockies kept him. Yeah.
Which, bravo to the Rockies, because they've got a young team, right? They have guys that are going to be coming up and they're like, okay, we believe in what we're doing here. You know, kind of attitude. And it's like, all right, we'll hopefully be better. We'll be the White Sox of next year. You know?
Yeah.
There's
definitely an opportunity there. And, you know, a team that we're not really talking about that I think got that definitely improved. You got to look at the Pirates. I like the Weaver move. I like the Yates move. Doval is Doval.
For this year or for the future?
Weaver is locked up for 2 years.
So if you're telling me it's Weaver for next year, sure. But I think they needed a lot more help than just the middle reliever this year.
No, they definitely did. But they made the situation better. They made their bullpen better. You can't expect Paul Skeens to not pitch like Paul Skeens the entire year. You expect him to round it out. And they feel that they're pitching rich. Right? They definitely feel like they're starting pitching rich. They need more offense than anything, but they definitely put themselves in position to be in the fight. And I think for a team like that who wasn't going to go in on a superstar, make yourself incrementally better. And I think the Pirates did a good job of that.
I also would have liked to see the Phillies go get Mike Trout, but I think they're just trying to prove me wrong at this point.
You know, it's like the Braves getting Jacob DeGrom, and it ultimately wasn't going
to
happen.
Well, I'd like to see the Braves get our other guy that we're going to talk about, Tarek Skubals.
Greetings, football fans. This is Rita, your thrice champion in the Option Pick'em Football Challenge with D&Z. Each week, we pick the winners for every NFL regular season matchup and compete to see who comes out on top. It's free to join, and the winner gets the ultimate bragging rights and a chance to record this spot next year. Are you in? Come test your skills against me, D, Z, and the rest of the league. Visit the Fade Route socials, click Join the Option, and sign up today. Good luck, and we'll see you for week one.
So, the Dodgers got their guy at the deadline. Shocker. Skubal is now a Dodger. Dave Roberts and Tarek both made comments that praised the Dodgers front office, but also agreed that every team had a chance to land the Detroit pitcher. So, Z, is that a fair assessment of Tarek Skubal ending up on the Dodgers?
No. Now, you may be able to trade for him, but this is not a situation where you're going to keep him, right? On what? The Mets aren't going for him. They're friggin' in the friggin' dog shit cellar. Like, that would have been suicide if they were to trade for Tarek Skubal this year. Because he's going to the Dodgers. He's not staying. The Yankees. They have the prospects. They just brought up George Lombard. That's great. They hit a home run tonight. Congratulations, George. You're on the road to having more home runs than your dad for your career. So good job. Former Brave George Lombard. There we go. Woo. But you had the prospects, right? You have Elmer Rodriguez. You have Spencer Jones. You could have made that happen, right? Maybe you would part with Will Warren. I know that he was a bone of contention in one of the trades. That Adrian Morejon, Will Warren, nope. What do you mean no? He's got ERA close over 4. Nope.
Nobody likes him.
Nope. Not happening. But, you know, there are very few teams that could make this happen. And there are very few teams that would be willing to mortgage their future to do this.
But you didn't have to mortgage the future. We saw the players that were given up for him. You didn't have to mortgage the
future. But here's why. It's a fait accompli. He's going there anyway. So you might as well take less. Give me something rather than see him go there for free. And they were very adamant about saying we want to keep Josue to Paula. Fuck you! No! I have the best pitcher, allegedly, in all of Major League Baseball. Motherfucker, I want your top four. So why are we doing the Dodgers favors here? Why are we doing them favors?
So, you know, I mean, if we're going to go off of what Jeff Passan was reporting. Tarik did not know where he was going to go. But it sounded like the Dodgers were interested in him in the offseason. They were pursuing him, you know, this year. And they have only, depending on how everything turns out with CBA, they intend to sign him to an extension. From what Jeff Passan was saying, it didn't come down to Detroit wanting a team's best prospects. It came down to a team giving them what they were asking for. They were asking for specific things. They were looking for a pitcher. They were looking for pitching. They were looking for a certain type of fielder. That's what they want to do. And they believe that the players they got from the Dodgers are going to be starters on their teams within the next 2 years. So that's what the reporting says. And I tend to believe it. The thing that I think happened is everybody looked at this as a rental, right? It's a rental, right? So I'm not...
Not for the Dodgers, though.
Right.
Not for the Dodgers.
Exactly. Not for the Dodgers. It wasn't a rental. But for everybody else, it was a rental. So how much am I really giving up for a rental? For a pitcher, right? So that's where I think the hangup was. But I think the Dodgers did this to block teams like the Phillies, to block teams like the Braves, to block teams like the Brewers from getting Tarik Skubal. Because let's be real, Z, they don't need him.
No.
They don't need him.
No.
So this was a way to be like, all right, we're not going to want to deal with him in a 5-game series where he pitches against us twice. We don't want to deal with him in a 7-game series where he pitches against us 3 times. Like, we're not dealing with him. So the best way to not deal with him is to just get him. And from what I understand, from what I've read about, again, I'm going to plug Jeff Passan, the Dodgers farm system is fucking full of talent. They have an overwhelming amount of talent where they were completely fine with giving up these 3 guys. And there's more guys. They have more talent coming up. So I'm not mad at the Dodgers for what they did. I don't really care. I don't care. As a Braves fan, I wish my team would have tried to get him because that would have been great to have Tarik Skubal in Sale. But I'm not mad that the Dodgers got him. Whatever. They went and got him. So what? Like, he's good. I mean, I wouldn't put him in a Verlander boat like Verlander from 10 years ago. I wouldn't put him in a Roger Clemens boat from like 20 years ago. Like, he's good. He's good. Is he the best pitcher in baseball? I don't know if that's true.
If you're looking at what the Brewers could have put together, Jesus Mate, who is, I believe, last time I checked, the number one overall prospect in all of baseball. Luis Lara, who's actually signed. He just signed his extension. Right? He's already major league ready. He's good to go. So there's your outfielder right there. You want a pitcher? You have Tyson Harden. He's a four-star prospect. He'll be there probably at the end of this year. You can match. You could absolutely, if you were the Brewers, you could have absolutely gone after this.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, everybody had their chance. It wasn't like, I mean.
No. They did not.
They did too.
They did not.
Don't act like they didn't. They did.
They did not.
Did they have an unfair chance? Maybe. But they had a chance. Everybody could have put in whatever they wanted to get him. Everybody could have made that phone call. Everybody could have offered whatever they were offering. It just so happens that that's where he's going. That's where everybody's going.
Right.
You know?
And you don't think that's an issue? You really don't think that's very suspicious?
As a person that lived through the 90s and saw fucking Cecil Fielder and Jose Canseco and all these other guys go to the Yankees?
Traded for a washed-up Ruben Sierra?
No, I don't.
Okay. You did it? Let's talk about it. The mid-90s Yankees. Okay. Daryl Strawberry. barely hanging on in the league, coming off a cocaine suspension. Cecil Fielder traded for Ruben Sierra. Change of scenery guy for change of scenery guy. You had a guy like Doc Gooden, another guy coming off a cocaine suspension.
Chuck Knobloch.
That worked out so well at the time. Great second baseman. They took the top prospect. They took Eric Milton. Eric Milton was the top prospect in the Yankees
organization. Where's Eric Milton now?
Eric Milton had a couple of good years with the Phillies. Like, that was Eric Milton's career. He had a couple of good years with
like
the Twins.
Like playing cards in the clubhouse?
What?
What kind of good years did he have with the Phillies?
No, he had a few double-digit win seasons. He had a couple of good ones. Mm-hmm. And then Knobloch completely fell apart defensively. Like, let's not forget that part.
He still hit over 20 home runs. He still was a really good leadoff hitter.
Keith Olbermann's mother from second base. He couldn't throw the ball to first base. Mm. That's a problem. Right? You want to talk about Jose Canseco? He was a waiver claim. Because the Yankees were trying to keep him away from the Red Sox. So you guys can talk about this all you want. That's revisionist history. If you want to talk about it, let's be real. Let's talk about pre-free agency Yankees. Okay, now you're talking. That's the real apples-to-apples comparison with these Dodgers. Right? They're not picking up scraps and making it work. They're cherry-picking the best player from every organization. Right, that's what you're competing with. You're competing with the pre-free agency Yankees. And that's a different bone of contention. Right? The rules were different. The rules were absolutely different. Did teams think it was unfair back then? Sure. Absolutely. And you know what? It was an unfair playing field then.
It's an unfair game, gentlemen.
It is an unfair game. The Yankees could pay where other teams could not. The Kansas City Royals or the
Johnny
Kansas City
Johnny Damon.
Yeah.
Jason Giambi.
Right. And
Alex Rodriguez.
Alex Rodriguez was a trade. After he was willing to take less money to go to the Red Sox.
A fair trade too, right? It was a very fair
Alfonso
trade.
Alfonso Soriano for A-Rod?
Yeah.
I would say that's a fair trade. You got a major league ready bat.
Yeah.
You got a major league ready bat, 100%. It's not his fault that Soriano didn't want to play left field.
Best player in Major League Baseball at that time.
Alfonso Soriano didn't want to play left field. Like, that was all. We're getting you. We want you to play left field. Fuck you.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. What do you mean? No. Kiss my ass. Kiss my goddamn ass in Macy's window. But no. At no point were the Yankees being given favors here.
I'm not saying they're given favors. I'm just saying that they muscled teams into getting players. They also were cherry picking players. They were getting the best players because they were paying the most money for players. Because back then nobody was paying people that much money.
No, nobody was paying them that much money.
Now everybody is. But now there's one team in LA that defers it all.
Right.
It's all deferred.
And that's why I hope you are getting nice and loose, and we're going to talk to Dr. Tommy Rhee about this.
Tommy Rhee will help me.
Yeah, about regenerative medicine. You got to be ready for March, because when we go into scab camp, I need you to be ready.
I'm ready. No, right? I mean, it's interesting. It sounds like the owners are willing to, again, listening to a lot to Jeff Passan today. So it sounds like the owners are going to basically, they're willing to lose the whole season. But mm-hmm. it's going to start with losing April, May, and June. They're willing to lose all those games because they'll be more concerned with July when all the kids are out of school. But they want a floor, they want a ceiling, and the players want it. So
of course, they want the 5-year cap contracts. They want the deferred money gone. They want all of that shit because now Bryce Harper doesn't look like a great signing. 13 years without a no trade clause, without any kind of opt out. Like, we thought that was going to be bad, and he's lived up to his contract, but they still have how many years left of that contract with Bryce Harper? It's not going to age well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think even with a cap, it brings its own problems, right? Because I think with a cap, you'll have collusion, right? You don't think there'll be collusion if they were to bring in a salary cap to Major League Baseball?
Oh, there's going to be collusion. There's collusion ever. There's collusion now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You're trading one problem for another problem.
This is collusion. You could argue this is collusion. The teams got together and said, we can't fucking pay this guy. He's going to go to the Dodgers. We know this. So we might as well just facilitate the process now. Just, God damn it. And then I'm going to take my 2, 5, and 7 where I should probably have 1 through 5 and probably somebody off the roster. Right? They took 10 cents on the dollar for a guy that's allegedly the best pitcher in baseball. And now just imagine what Paul Skenes will fetch one day when he gets traded to the Dodgers. Like, what are they going to get for him?
Well, I mean, listen, it's all about what the Pirates are going to want to get for him. It depends on what the Pirates want to get. You want to get something or you want to get nothing. I mean, bravo to the Tigers, right, for selling.
If the prospects work out.
Right. I mean, because I didn't think, even giving him up, I thought that the Tigers were only 2 games back from the wild card. I thought they still were in it, but then they got rid of Casey Mize. I'm like, all right, you guys.
And they punted. Yeah. They
you guys are just tour. Mailing it in now, which is fine. But that's a better situation than being like a Met and thinking, oh, we've got a chance. We're on a heater. We're burning. We've got Terry Skubal. Let's go. We're going to the championship.
Mets have not been on a heater all year.
They're just being realistic about the situation. They gave up and got. They're happy with what they got. And that's it. I don't think they got swindled. I think they got what they wanted. Power to them. Whatever. They were going to win the World Series without him anyway. It didn't matter.
And they were interesting. But the thing that he was going there anyway. He could say that, but who's going to pay him that $800 million that he wants? One team.
Dodgers.
That's it.
The Dodgers.
That's it. So you can say all you want about how this team invests in its team and it does all this. Yes, but there is one team that can afford that. Like, the Yankees aren't opening up their purse. No, nobody's using it. And I'm waiting for the team that's going to use the Dodgers to get a raise from some of these other teams. Because teams are just going to call their bluff. Be like, okay, go to the Dodgers. Fuck, I actually don't have an offer. Like, damn, I actually told me Scott?
Should have got a live chicken.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. You really care about what's under your hood.
Well, you know, we've been talking about the trade deadline. Interestingly enough, neither of us mentioned how the Red Sox did during the trade deadline. They added Adley Rutschman to their team, the former Baltimore Orioles catcher. And the Red Sox are still on a heater. They're fresh out of going into L.A. and sweeping the Dodgers. So, Z, what are they missing?
Clearly, they were missing a 251, 8 homer, and 47 ribby catcher. Let's go. Let's fucking go. Add away, boys. Now, the kudos to them for not trading their top prospect in Franklin Arias for Zach Nito. Now, let's not do that. Let's not trade.
I thought the O's were going to trade Gunner because he's having a shit year. But
I think he has longer team control. Adley Rutschman, I think, was a free agent after next year.
Yeah.
So they brought in Eric Miller. They flipped Eric Miller and Marcelo Mayer. So Marcelo Mayer is gone. He's in San Francisco now. I would have liked a veteran starter. I definitely would have liked a veteran starter to go with Sonny Gray. Yeah. Maybe they have positive information on Garrett Crochet and that influenced their move. But I would rather have another guy like a Castillo or a Mize, even Clay Holmes. George Kirby. Yeah, that would have been fine. Well, but would it have cost Franklin Arias to get?
Or Ray, Robbie Ray.
Robbie Ray would have been good. Robbie Absolutely. Been yeah, those would have been solid veteran additions because you have Gray, you have Ranger Suarez, and then your three is Brian Bayo, who's having a down year. So Brian Bayo is,
career is a down year.
I mean, he's been like better.
A 4-5 ERA.
Yeah. Well, now this year he's the 5-3. Like, he's absolutely, like, he's
career wise, he's got like a 4-5. Like, he's not that great.
But I would have liked a veteran to kind of do that. I mean, they kept Connor Wong, so they could DH Adley Rutschman if need be until he gets until the pitching staff gets used to him. You also have Wilson Contreras. I would have loved another shortstop. I would have loved another infielder on that team. And, you know, I don't know who that would have been. I get what they were going for with Zach Neto. The same thing, the same reason why the Blue Jays went and got Jose Soriano. Like,
yeah.
Was confusing. That was a little confusing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they
were.
I mean,
they were trying to flip him, and it didn't work.
You're just not going to win with Vlad Guerrero only having 6 home runs, man. It's just not. And it's not like he's going to turn it around tomorrow. Like,
You know, you talked about Bo Bichette before, and how when we were offline about how nobody wanted Bo Bichette. The Red Sox could have used Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette with the Green Monster actually playing shortstop, that might have been better for him.
But maybe the Red Sox are just realistic in what they've got going on. Maybe they're like, okay, like, yes, we're on a burner and we're playing really well, but let's just build for what we need future-wise. Like, Adley Rutschman could totally be their catcher for the future if he can have a career year.
If they can resign him.
Right.
They gave up their number 2 prospect and their number 5 prospect to bring him.
Right, they gave up some good stuff.
They gave up a lot, plus their starting catcher.
Yeah.
So, and that's an interdivision trade.
Orioles must really, really not like him, I guess. Or they just really felt that return was so much better.
I mean,
because you got to think of people evaluate talent differently, right? Every organization evaluates talent differently, especially the Yankees, right? So you've got to imagine that, you know, the O's know what he is. And they value Boston's guys a certain way. And Boston knows what they have and what they need. So it's kind of just evaluating what the want versus the need is and taking it from there. But when the Boston Red Sox, I watched the game Saturday. They beat Yamamoto, which was like, huh? What? Like, and just like they are just young and they're running all over the bases. And I think that if LA wanted to squash them, they could have squashed them. But they, you know, this is a typical thing where a team that has no expectations is running high off of, you know, what the last couple of weeks have been, just went in there and slapped the shit out of them and left.
Mm-hmm.
They slapped them. It's hard to believe Mookie Betts has been a Dodger longer than he was a Red Sox. Do you believe that?
I believe
he's been a Dodger for 7 years.
I believe that.
That's wild. It's wild shit.
A bullpen game on Friday, Emmett Sheehan on Sunday. You threw one quality pitcher at the Red Sox. You can't tell me that the Dodgers were actively trying to.
No. I don't think so. But yeah. I think they've also the Dodgers the way they don't need that to.
They don't need to.
No, they understand the Major League Baseball season. Like, us beating the Red Sox at home this weekend doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter. Now when we face the Padres at home on a weekend, that matters. When we face the Giants at home on a weekend, that matters. Like, they know what they gotta do. And I just think, but it's still impressive to watch Boston go in and compete at a high level against this team. So, and what I was trying to say is like watching Boston go in there this weekend made me rethink, you know, their position in the American League and their position for the rest of the season. I think they could make a run. I think they're competitive enough. Just because they're competitive, like they're competing, you could see they're playing hard. You can see they want to win. It's not like watching the Rockies play or watching Seattle play. I don't know if you got a chance to watch Seattle play. You're like, are you guys trying? Like, what are you guys doing out here? Their catcher is awful. You got to get to the point where, like, dude, you can't play. Like, you got to sit down. Like, we are losing because of you. You're batting like 167. Like, we don't need that. You're approaching like Austin Wells status, dude. Like, just get the fuck out of here. Like, you know, So they all their players are playing hard. They seem up for the challenge. It'll be fun to watch them in this month and next month to see how close they actually get. It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, the three best teams in the American League East, record-wise, are all in the American, all the three, top three. So Rays, Yankees, Red Sox, that's the top of the American League. So you have to, going from where the Red Sox were to where the Red Sox are, that's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
They were dead in the water.
And if you're not thinking about Chad Tracy for Manager of the Year, you need to start thinking about Chad Tracy for Manager of the Year.
Right.
Yeah, because this team is not impressive.
Because it would have been easy for him to do what the Mets manager, who's there right now, did, and just be like, all right, like, they've already told me I'm not coming back, so whatever, guys. Fucking chicken fingers and french fries tonight. Like, whatever, you know? Fire up some fish sticks in the fucking microwave. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this guy took this thing and was like, hey, man, like, let's win. Like, everybody's competing here to play here or play somewhere else. Yeah. Like, let's just play hard and see what happens.
But that's the thing. It's like, when
Sonny Gray is like, who is this guy? Where did this come from? We were laughing at the idea of Sonny Gray pitching in Boston. Literally their ace.
Yeah. No, the Red Sox have a bigger picture idea of what's going on. And I think I would have liked just one more guy. I really would have liked just one more guy. And if they think Franklin Arias is going to help them this year, call him up now. Go for it. Get him acclimated now. Why not? I mean, the Yankees are doing with Lombard. You might as well get your kid in there and see what he can do. You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org. But speaking of the Yankees, despite homers from Austin Wells, Jose Caballero, newest Yankee slugger Luis Garcia, and Ryan McMahon, they still got crushed by the Cardinals last night. Brian Cashman failed to get a middle reliever and failed to get a catcher at the deadline. Yankee fans are killing Cashman on the radio today. And should they be?
I don't know, man. I mean, they sent down Dominguez. They sent down Volpe today. Lombard is up. Lombard hit a home run today in his first at bat, or not his second at bat. They go and get Helito Ramos from the Giants, but he's essentially Jason Dominguez. He just gets to play more, and he strikes out more. They're the same player. They literally are the same fucking player. The failure to get a catcher might hurt. I mean, Austin Wells has 7 home runs and 14 RBI. We're in August. I mean, I'm pretty sure Yogi Berra got 14 RBI in a doubleheader one Sunday. So you're like, Yogi Berra, the current catcher for the Yankees, only has 14 RBI. Is he in the war? Is he fighting against Iran? Like, what do you mean he's only got 14 RBI? What are you talking about? Yeah, no, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. So
Wells' production is also in only 221 at-bats. He's doing this in 221 at-bats.
I was surprised the Yankees didn't get Weaver. If you're telling me, what am I surprised more about, that the Yankees didn't get a middle reliever, they didn't get a catcher? I would say I'm very surprised that he didn't bring Weaver back. That seemed like a no-brainer. He played for you last year. He's right in Queens. He still uses Yankee equipment. Like, I would think that you would just bring him back. I would think that the Colorado Rockies catcher was another thing that would have happened. That didn't happen. I would have thought that Mike Trout would have been an option for them at this point. I would have thought Joe Adell to Cleveland.
That was interesting.
Who had a great day today. He played very well today for them. you're telling me you could have got Joe Adell to play center field? Like, I'm just... Listen, Cashman's been there for this long. I don't think he has it. I have to believe he has a plan. He believes in what they got. He must know that, you know, Stanton's coming back, Judge is coming back, Rodon is coming back, and that's his trade deadline acquisitions.
Here we go again.
That's what he... And they have one of the best run differentials in the league. They're going to the World Series. I still think they're going to the World Series. So, no, I don't think you have a gripe. This is what the New York Yankees in 2026 are.
They're going out to the Rays.
If they face the Rays in the first round, they're in trouble.
They're going out to the White Sox. I think
they would burn down the Bronx if that happened.
The White Sox have a better offense.
The Bronx won't let that happen.
This team.
The Bronx won't. Who's the White Sox going to throw out there that's going to shut them down?
Castillo can still put one together.
I just don't understand the Judge injury. Like, I don't. How is
he
not?
Do they?
How is he not cleared? Baseball activity, dude. What did you do? I've seen quarterbacks break ribs and get cleared to play football quicker than this. Like, what is going on? How is this possible? Who hired this crew?
I don't understand the nature of this fracture. Is it something that's like Mike? It's just like, is he refracturing it on a daily basis? Is he that brittle? Is he Samuel L. Jackson from Unbreakable? Is that what's going on here? Is he like a reverse Wolverine? Like, I don't know what's happening here with Judge, but you can't count on him. You can't count on him. You can't count on Mr. Chips. You can't count on Rodon and his bad back. You need to move as if these guys are not coming back, because you do not have anybody in the minor leagues that can replace them. Your top two prospects are Lombard. He's up now. Dax Kilby is 19 years old. He's an A-ball. Those are your top two prospects. The next eight are pitchers. And then you have a guy named Corey Jackson. He's 22. He's in high A-ball. There's your next top position player prospect. You need help. And no, signing Mitch Garver and signing Rob Refsnyder from the Dead in the Water Mariners is not going to cut it. Not signing quadruple-A players. You need to go out and you need to make this team better. Heliot Ramos, he's better than Dominguez.
He's not, though. He just got to play more than Dominguez. That's the only... And he got to play for the Giants in a small market on a shit team. That's the only magnifying glass you have for him. If Dominguez got to play as much as Helito Ramos played, they'd have the same numbers. Except Ramos strikes out more.
He has only 9 homers. He's not a home run hitter. That's not what his job is.
No.
Dominguez is billed as a home run hitter. This is what he's supposed to
do.
By his own organization. Which has failed him, which has failed Volpe, and we can get to that in a second. But what are we doing here, right? How are we supposed to be making our organization better, right? You're doing the guys on the roster a disservice. Yeah, he's double Dominguez for his career in about 100 more games. Okay, he's had one more season. Okay.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, he just hasn't played. If Dominguez played as much, they'd be the same player. This move was, I don't get it. I don't understand. Just let Dominguez play. Like, it's almost like they got him because Bellinger was hurt. Don't you feel that way? Like, that's...
They needed an outfield upgrade.
Right.
They do, because you can't run Spencer Jones out there all the time.
No!
That's great. That's great that you want to try
that. The fact that he didn't get down is wild.
Yeah, so...
You're telling me you'd rather play Spencer Jones?
This is more about Trent Grisham and the fact that he took the qualifying offer. He's playing center field.
But you're telling me, we both went to the game. We saw them play. You're telling me you'd rather start Spencer Jones than Jason Dominguez?
They're both garbage.
they're both garbage, but I mean, you want the rotten eggs or do you want the used tampon?
They're both terrible. They're both terrible. Now, for Spencer Jones, this is his first taste of Major League Baseball.
Oh, so you're saying there might be some upside at some point.
Yes. Mickey Mantle once got sent down, right? Willie Mays was almost threatened to be sent down. These things happen. Am I saying that he's going to miraculously become Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays? No. But
it happened.
They could. He still could. Jason Dominguez has played 200 games. He's had 700 plate appearances.
We know who he is.
We know who he is. Yes, we know who Jason Dominguez is. He's a mid guy. He's Melky Cabrera with a little more meat on his bones. Like I've been saying. Ramos is a slight upgrade. He's 3 years older. So, once again, we missed the boat on that. We got older. Good job.
And he strikes out a lot.
Everybody strikes out a lot. Eventually, we have to just get off the fact that people strike out a lot. Show me the guy who doesn't strike out a lot. Luis Arraez, and he gets shit on. My man gets
nobody
shit on.
Nobody wants him on their team.
Nobody wants him. Nobody fucking wants a three-time batting champ. What are we doing here? Nah, fuck that guy. We don't want that guy. Are we high? I expect all of you to be drug tested. But there were opportunities for the Yankees to improve. They didn't. Weaver would have been a good one. Absolutely, Weaver would have been a good one. I don't know about Goodman. I was looking at his splits, and he's slightly better on the road. So that might, if they were willing to give up like a Ben Hess or Carlos Lagrange or even Spencer Jones, I think that they probably could have pried away Hunter Goodman. But I think they believe in, they're going to make him the cornerstone of the Rockies, whatever that means. The cornerstone is like being the nicest guy in prison. So there's that. But ultimately, this is a failure, a multiple year failure of Cashman to read this team. Right? You want to talk about how 2024 fucked the Mets. You love that narrative. I got to say that losing to the Astros screwed the Yankees up. Fire Girardi, you bring in Boone, Gary Sanchez is gone. It all went crazy from that moment. Right? They were actually, that team was a likable Yankee team, which is kind of wild. And then they go get Cole, they go do all, they have Cole, they do all these things. And their offense has just gone to hell. Because they rely on the big burly guys with power who can't stay on the field. You need to build a team with a diversified offense. You've gone all in on modern baseball. How's that working out for you? Yeah, I understand their run differential is fantastic. That run differential was from having guys like Bellinger and having guys like Judge there. What's the run differential with these guys? Right? They're living off of other people's success. The best offensive player on this team is Ben Rice. I think we can agree it's Ben Rice. Who's the second best?
Like on the team now?
Not the guys that are missing. Currently. Goldschmidt?
No. Who's the catcher? Not Wells, the other guy.
Ali Sanchez,
baby.
Jazz?
Oh, Jazz, yeah.
Jazz? Or,
I was surprised they didn't move him.
I didn't know if it was true or not, but I saw a rumor that they were thinking about moving Jazz because he's a free agent anyway.
Right.
So, I don't know.
They're not going to pay him.
No. And I think that, unfortunately for Yankee fans, I think that means Anthony Volpe is your starting second baseman next year.
Oh, shit.
So it becomes a player. It's been a player development problem.
Or bullshit.
No. He recently said on the record that he has no plans on leaving the Mets. God damn it. You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch and bastard. I hate you. But the Yankees have a failure to develop position players. The Yankees are having difficulty with the concept, you know, actually having a well-rounded offense. And trading Duvall on paper is a good idea because he wasn't doing shit for you.
And Bird.
And Jake Bird.
Don't have to see that guy again.
Jake Bird with his 5.6 ERA, something like that. But, yeah, you're relying on 4 guys out of the pen. That sounds like a bad idea when you take into account that one of them is David Bednar. Like, yeah, he's having a good season, but he's bound for a couple stinkers. And he'll probably have the stinkers at the worst possible time. But the Yankees are screwed. This is Cashman and Boone's fault. They're not going to clean house. We've been saying it for years. It's unfortunate. If they just listen to us, Yankee fans, you'd be much happier if they just listen to 2 of us.
Molly B's offers unforgettable artisan crafted cookies. Molly B's Gourmet Cookies brings creative, unique cookies straight to your pantry. No cookie shop required. With bold, unforgettable flavors, they're the ultimate treat for any occasion. Enjoy an exclusive discount when you use my promo code DANDZ, and you could be using that at mollybz.com.
Well, the dust is settled from the trade deadline, so Z, what does your power rankings look for the 5 top teams in the American League look like?
Well, there's a lot of mediocrity in the American League. I think we can agree on that, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of mediocrity. And I include the Yankees in that mediocrity because they've been treading water since the end of May. So, based on what we have right now and the moves that were made, Rays up top. Number 1, far and away, Tampa Bay Rays. Number 2, Chicago White Sox. They can fucking hit. The Chicago White Sox can fucking hit. Straight, baby. Straight up. The guy that David Stearns didn't feel comfortable signing. Right. Another guy should be... Another reason he should be drug tested. God damn it. Number 3, give me the Red Sox. The Red Sox have been equatorially hot. They're playing well. We'll see what Rushman brings to the table. But how can you go against Boston right now? 4 and 5 are tough. I'd probably put the Yankees at 4. Just because they're there. They're not impressive, but they're there. And they're one of 3 teams that have over 60 wins. And now you're in like the Guardians and the Astros and the Rangers and the Twins and the Orioles. And, you know, I want to go rinse my mouth out. I'll go with the Astros by default just because they have a winning record. I'll just go with that. They're the
best hitter in baseball, too.
They do. They have Yordan Alvarez, former Dodger. Can you imagine if they didn't trade? Could you imagine if the Dodgers didn't trade Yordan Alvarez for Josh Fields? This would be absurd. It'd be fucking ridiculous. Where's he going to play? Because Ohtani's your DH. Where the hell? He's got to play the outfield. Like, Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't sign Freddie and you put him at first. Yeah. I don't know how that butterfly effect works. And does he become the best hitter in baseball in the Dodgers? I don't know. It's a fascinating question. But I like the Varsho move. I think that they got a veteran outfielder. He can hit. He can run. Like Toronto, it was one of those years. And shit happened. They only gave up, I think, Spencer Arrighetti to get him.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a good move on their part. They're going to start getting healthier.
And being having a really good ball player. We wish you nothing but the best.
Exactly. So, but they're barely hanging on at the five spot.
All right, so I'm going to go reverse order. So I'm going to start with five, and I'm kind of with you. I like Houston. I think the Varsho move was great. They have Yordan Alvarez, who's the best hitter in baseball. I don't think they're going to win anything, but, you know, they can be annoying, can be a pesky little gnat.
Mm.
Number four, I'm going with Boston. I just got to – they're equatorially hot right now, like you said. They just swept the Dodgers. I still think it's incredible, but I got to imagine they're going to cool off at some point, and that might result in them not even making the playoffs. Number three is going to surprise you, but for me, number three is actually Tampa.
Really?
We talked about it earlier. I love the move with Peralta. The Liam Hicks thing is awesome. You know, I just don't know if they can beat any. I don't know if they can beat a good team in a 7-game series. I know that they can beat them in a 5-game. And a 3-game. I don't know if they can beat like a really good team in a 7-game series. You know, number two is going to surprise you. Number two, I've got the Guardians, man. I really do, because the pitching. They've got the pitching. They just got Joe Adell. Okay, now you're defensively sound. You got guys that can get on base, and you can pitch. They got starters that can go into a 7-game series and get you the 6th game, get you the 7th game. Like, they've been there before. They've been to the playoffs. They've got Jose Ramirez, who's going to be a Dodger at some point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I believe in the Guardians, man. I believe in the Guardians. And number one's the New York Yankees, man. The Yankees are going to the World Series. You know, the only thing that stops them is if they don't get Judge and Stanton back. If they don't get Judge and Stanton back, then they don't go to the World Series. If they get Judge and Stanton back, they're going to the World Series.
This is your team, man. You cannot bank on those guys. You'll get Bellinger back.
We've seen playoff Stanton. We've seen Giancarlo Stanton come back in the late in the season and just be a fucking problem to get out in the playoffs.
Best I can give you is Cody Bellinger.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't see it any other way.
More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. morelabs.com.
Football season starts this week. So, Z, what are five sleeper teams that could surprise some people this year?
A Hall of Fame game on Thursday. It's absurd.
Crazy shit.
Are you watching that? Carson Beck versus Kenny Pickett?
No, absolutely not. There's no way.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Neither will I. Neither will I. But let's talk about sleeper teams. Two of them are coming out of the NFC South. And we will be ordering up the NFC South later this week, so definitely check out our review and preview of the NFC South. But I think the Panthers will be better than 8-9. Yes. Oh, you're choosing the division champs. They were 8-9.
They got in by default.
Exactly. It was alphabetical. Is that why it got in? I think it was. It was head-to-head.
It was a head-to-head thing. The Bucks, I think, they beat the Saints. Something happened on the last game of the season. The Bucks weren't able to choose their fate.
Yeah, but I got to say, the Panthers will be improved. They showed improvement last year. Dave Canales knows what he's doing as a head coach. I like what Tyler Shook is doing, man. They got themselves a quarterback in New Orleans.
They believe Travis Etienne is there now with Kamara.
Yes, and they signed.
They have Chris Olave.
They extended Chris Olave, so they must believe that he's past this concussion issue that he had in his career. I don't know about that, but the team around Mr. Shook is going to be a very formidable team, and they can make some noise. Call me a homer, but I like what the Giants are doing. Am I saying the Giants are going to win the division? No. But they've made positive movement. And this team was a few breaks away from being like an 8-win team last year. You know, if their stupid defensive coordinator doesn't call a prevent defense, maybe they win that game in regulation. Maybe they don't let Brandon Aubrey kick it from the other side of the goddamn field.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Denver game.
Well, that one too! Or Green Bay, or, you know, like, take your friggin' pick. Take your pick. There are 4 or 5 games where you're just like, are you fucking kidding me? Fucking kidding me. That being said, I think the Titans are going to be improved because Dable's not the head coach. Dable's going to be the OC, and he's going to do wonders for Cam Ward's career. I think he's going to open things up, make him more creative. You bring in Wandell Robinson with you. He can stretch the field. They already had a good defense. It's Saleh and Dable's job not to fuck that up. That's your job, Rob. Brian, don't fuck it up. Nice catch, Hayes. Don't ever fucking do it again. And my fifth surprise. You're starting to get into some really kind of like, are they really going to be surprises if they're just bad teams that are going to be better than you think? If that's the case, then all right, I'll say it. The Raiders. They're not going to be as terrible as people think they're going to be. Congratulations, I guess. We're looking at 5 or 6 wins. So I think they have the possibility for more. But it really, you know, it depends on Mendoza's maturation process. If Cousins shits the bed, Genty needs to improve. They need to
Cousins
find...
Cousins is really old out there.
Yeah. The plan doesn't exactly look like it's...
Looks like he's moving in slow motion.
It doesn't look like it's coming together like they hoped for. So, if Fernando Mendoza is able to beat him out in Russell Wilson fashion, they could be better. But any of those 5 teams, possibly with the exception of the Raiders, have a chance to sniff the playoffs this year. 2 of them... in the NFC South, we'll probably have a run at the division. But I'm confident that those 5 teams will be improved and will rocket up the standings at least a little bit.
So we have some overlap, but the first one I'm going to say is the Giants. I do believe this, if this guy can, you know, Daxton Dart, if he can stay out of concussion protocol, and run the offense, and also if their running back can stop doing backflips and just focus on hitting the hole and scoring touchdowns, and that's Scadabo. I think defensively they're sound. They're a good team. I just think like last year, that defensive coordinator
Shane Bowen, never forget that name. You son of a bitch.
It's just a mistake, you know. So I think they'll be better. Mm-hmm. Number 4, I've got the Saints too. I believe in Tyler Shuck. I believe in their coach Moore. I think he's going to have an outstanding offense this year. This will be the second year he's running his own system. He's got another running back. So he got Kamara and Etienne. You got 2 guys who are going to be scoring touchdowns. Chris Olave, you know, you can scheme it up so that he doesn't run over the middle of the field. You know, he's a smaller receiver, so just keep him on the outside. Don't let him run you know, the Z routes. Number three, I think if Daniel Jones comes back and is ready to play, I think the Colts could surprise some people, man. Because let's not forget, he was going to be the MVP until he got hurt. Like, they were legit. Jonathan Taylor was having a great year. Defensively, they were stopping people. So, yeah, I think the Colts can surprise people. I'm with you with the Panthers as well. I think they're not giving Bryce Young an extension. So, you know, this is trial by fire, dude. Like, prove you got to go out there and go get it, man. Go get it. So, and I think he can go get it. I saw him towards the tail end of the season. It just seemed like it was clicking. It seemed like it was all coming together for him. And I root for that guy. I think he's a nice guy. And the last one, it might be a surprise, but it might not also be a surprise. It's the Bengals. This is a big year for them. I thought last year was going to be a big year for them, but then Joe got hurt. Joe always gets hurt. I think he wins Comeback Player of the Year award again, third time, gets the MVP, goes to the Super Bowl. Could happen.
I mean, a lot of things could happen, but the one thing that's keeping me from picking the Bengals is the defense. Like, you have to have some pulse on that side of the ball. You got Dexter Lawrence. Shamar Stewart apparently had a non-contact leg injury. He was your first round pick last year who didn't want to report to camp. So it's something that you got to figure out. Offensively, they're going to be fine as long as Joe Burrow is upright. That's a big, big, big if lately for Joe Burrow. But we still have some time here. Like, we still have training camp to go through. There's going to be plenty of bubble ups and bubble downs. But I think these are definitely teams to watch, right? We know which teams are going to be at the tippy top. We know which teams are going to be the drizzling shits. These are a couple of teams that are going to be in between. And where they fall and what breaks fall for them along the way.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutpodcast, or drop us a line on X @faderoutdnz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route today, we have former Navy Air Crew veteran, sports chiropractor, and former team chiropractor for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and UCLA Athletics Bruins, Dr. Tommy Reed. Thanks for coming on, Tommy.
Hey, thank you very much, man. Appreciate it. This is going to be exciting.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So we're going to jump right in. So, you know, before treating elite athletes, you were a Navy Air Crew veteran. How did your military background shape your approach to high-stakes injury rehab and athlete longevity?
Those days in the military were set in place for me. And I tell you, that was very stressful. But you know how it's been years, and you kind of remember the good but not the bad. So some of the things I do remember were, like, you know, great adventures, you know, flying around, do some cool missions. But then you kind of forget about how you got to that spot, how you got in that seat, you know? And it's the training, and it's that repetitive kind of, like, the drilling and over that repetitive over and over, doing the same thing over and over again. So it's like second nature. Because of that, you know, it's easy to come in the civilian world and apply that to anything what you do, right? Then when you go into, like, seeing the patient and you're seeing the repetitive kind of, like, you know, injuries, you sort of have a pattern now. It's just like in the military, there's a pattern that you're going to set, it's second nature. Well, you start seeing these patterns that are occurring with these particular athletes. So because of that and that repetition of like training for it and then seeing it, it becomes second nature to me. So, you know, I think the big thing with the military, what it did for me, it put that standard of just repetitive consistency, dedication, and pushing yourself to accomplish that goal. And once I got to that point, it's like now it's second nature. So when I start seeing these injuries come over and over again, it becomes like repetitive and it's like really easy to diagnose for these athletes.
I feel like since you were in the military too, like no situation is too big for you. I feel like you got that cool, calm demeanor to be really just be able to face anything and be like, okay, this, you know, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to handle it. You're able to talk to somebody and just calm them down or just do whatever you have to do and remain focused and calm too. I think that also helps, right?
Yeah, man. You know, when you're young, you're flying around, you're having some fun or doing training. I have to really think about it. And then it didn't seem, right now, it doesn't seem stressful. It just seems like an excitement, you know, doing training, you know, like for instance, like we had to do this thing called, it's called SEER training. It's called Survival, Evasion, Resistance, Escape. Basically a POW camp, you know, they put you in a simulation where they kind of like have you get like chased by these enemies and get captured and go through torture and you have to keep your mouth quiet. And so I'm thinking, hey, you know, looking back now, I have to really think about those hard times of not eating for 4 days and being like dehydrated, kind of lightheaded. And they're kind of like, you know, they're doing a little torture on you, a little bit of stuff. And then, but at a certain point, if you just keep your bearing and just understand your goal, you can accomplish anything. So with that, I guess all that training and all that sort of missions I went through, it becomes like just a process. You just have to understand. Just understand that you went through training, you've been taught something, just apply it and then just trust the system. Just trust what you got and keep going forward.
Did you have a call sign?
They used to call me Maui.
Maui?
Yeah, because here's a funny thing. I was a spaz back then, you know, like I'm 58 now. So back then when I was young, I had unlimited energy. I would just be bouncing up the walls and they always thought I was high. So I said, you gotta be on something, right? So you must be on that Maui Wowie or something. I said, no. So I would have to get like urinalysis drug tests every month because they always thought I was on drugs, but I was just me, you know, just being silly.
Entire life. Just ready to go.
It's amazing.
So you've spent time on the sidelines and in the training rooms with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and UCLA Bruins. What is one hidden injury or a physical struggle that fans watching on Sunday have no idea players are routinely managing on the field?
I don't think it's so much physical. It's the mental side of it. It's what they go through an injury. I mean, in college, yeah, there's some stress involved with not being on the field. But when you're a professional and your dollar's worth is, you know, is based on your playing ability and performing and you're injured, now you have a lot of stress. So it's the worst scenario to be in, right? You're stressed out because of the injury. Now you're physically injured, and then those two don't work well together. So you need that some mental toughness or even like, you know, it's almost like wishful thinking. You just have to wish it into fruition. You've got to be positive. You've got to be optimistic of your whole therapy, because if you start going down a slippery slope of depression and understanding that I'm not going to be on the field and that short term of recovering could last long term where it's a season ending injury. So the biggest thing, and I would say about the hidden injury of these athletes, is the mental side of things, and especially the depression component of it.
So also probably like having confidence, right? Believing in yourself, believing in your rehab, believing you're going to get better and you're going to get to where you need to be.
Yeah. Now, there's two kinds of people. I mean, no matter what happens, there's this two group of people. The one that's optimistic and the one that's pessimistic. It's just human nature. And then the one that gets injured and they're optimistic, it's like they can see the cup half filled. Like, all right, no problem. It took me a little setback, but I needed to recover from my other injuries. So this kind of allows me to get recovered all throughout my body. And they look at it as a positive. Whereas the other person say, why me? Why this happened to me? Oh my gosh, this always happened to me. And then it just goes down a slippery slope. Now you're like, hey, the therapy's not going good. You're not doing what I'm supposed to do. Oh my gosh, you know? And then now that becomes a, like a, a kind of like a, I wouldn't say like a problems athlete, but
like
it just puts
right?
Exactly.
It's
and then
building,
next thing you know,
it's building, it's building.
Yeah, and he becomes that tag type of person. Like, okay, he's difficult to work with, you know, and right. All he's got to do is just be optimistic. But he has that personality. Looks at the half empty cup.
Right, and then they could also start blaming other people, right?
Not 100%.
Themselves, taking out on everybody, their family members, doctors, trainers, coaches.
Yeah,
and stuff
it's
like
it's
that.
Never their fault, right? It's always mm-hmm. somebody else's fault.
And then comes the increased reliance upon illicit substances.
Yeah, yep. That's a whole big thing, you know. That goes hand in hand with depression, injury, and masking the pain. Because that's one thing when you're in the NFL. There's no time to really like do like the regenerative medicine stem cell therapy because it takes time. So in order for them to go through a game or a week or some kind of injury, they have to mask it. And that's that pain management. Do an injection, numb the area, continue on playing. That's why you always hear about off-season like surgeries. Because of those during the season, you're just basically just maintaining it and just surviving so you can get through the season.
Yeah, just like me, yeah, just masking. I actually just finished watching the series with the quarterback with Joe Flacco playing for Cincinnati, and I think he sprained his AC joint, and he's like, yeah, I can throw, I just can't put any power into it. And he's like, if you give me something just to get me through this game, just get me through this game. Like, what? And they're like, all right, you know, he's like, how quickly can it work? And it's like, take about like 10 minutes. He's like, all right, let's run back there. They run back, shoot him up. He comes out and he's able to throw. And he's like, I can't feel anything, you know. But then, you know, obviously, eventually you have to take care of it. You know, it's not going to just go away, you know. But the off-season surgery is where it's at.
Yeah, man. Hey, you know, on top of that, you know, there's that ugly side of that type of like, you know, like knowing what you're doing. But there's an uglier side where they don't tell the athlete what's going on. There are stories out there where they'll tell an athlete, no, you're okay. Your knee ACL is not that bad. Where it's really like, you know, like maybe like 50% like torn. He's hanging in for a little bit. Now, if he did the surgery right there, he will have a faster recovery and maybe like, you know, be back next season. But because he, you know, is lied upon these things, they'll go out there and then he'll do a complete rupture. Now it could be a career ending. So just because of that, like maybe not informing the athlete about this injury, they just want that game out of him, right? They just want to get him on the field because we need him. Well, that's where the problem. So I've seen some like hanky panky when it comes to like, you know, they don't tell the athlete 100% about what's going on. So I've seen that side of it.
And would that come from the doctor? Does that come from the team? Like, who does that usually come from when you're not providing them with all the information?
You know, I don't want to talk too much in detail, but just like anything else, think about it. It's a team effort, right? So everybody has to be in that same mindset.
Right.
So if the leadership has got that bad mental side, well, it trickles down, right? Everybody has to be on the point, right? So, hey, back me up, you know, make sure that the ortho, make sure the neurologist, make sure that we're all saying the same thing. What is that? Not the truth. Sometimes it happens, you know, because they want this guy on the field. And then the worst thing about that is that the only person that pays is the athlete. The athlete gets punished because he has that, maybe it's a season ending turn into a career ending injury. So I've seen that happen.
Wow, that's nuts. So, you know, the pressure to get back on the field or on the track as fast as possible is massive at the elite level, which we were just talking about. So what actually goes into that return to play decision behind closed doors? How do you handle it when an athlete's drive to play clashes with their body telling you something different? So in a situation where you're, you know, kind of being real with the athlete and he's being unreal about a situation, like, how do you handle it? How, you know, are you kind of preaching what you're supposed to preach? Or you're like, all right, I guess we could do this. I guess we could do that. I mean, this is what you really want.
Right. Yeah. Like a hypothetical, like a Tyrese Halliburton who's pushing through, and all of a sudden he, you know, ruptures, tears his Achilles, and now he's lost the year because he was trying to push it through and trying to win an NBA Finals. Like, how do you handle that? How do you sometimes save an athlete from themselves?
Right.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, so that particular case, you know, you're looking at just the outer shell of the story, right? But deep in there, there's a medical staff that's giving him information, right? So is the information correct again? Or is it like maybe like fluffed up a little bit? Like, hey, you know, you're going to be okay. It's just a little bit of maybe a little couple of strands of torn. No big deal. We can take care of it with tape and all that. So you have to look at the, where is this getting all the information? So if he gets the right information, like what I do, I tell the truth. I have to look at myself in the mirror. I know where I'm going to go when I die. I don't want to go to the opposite side. I want to go to heaven, right? So I want to make sure that the athlete gets the truth, the total truth, and that just everything that has to do with his future. And then if he has the animosity to go use it against me, hey, that's his decision. I'm just telling you the truth. You've got a grade 2, 3. It's about to rupture. You continue this, you're going to have a bad situation where you're not going to like. And I'm just being truthful. So that's how I handle it. Just be truthful and understand that, you know, you have to let him decipher his own information. Now, when you see other athletes that go through something and push themselves, you know, are they doing it against the doctor's will or are they getting the wrong information from the doctor? So those are, you know, those are two sides of the coin that you look at.
Yeah, I feel like Z, you brought up a good one, Halliburton, and I also thought about like Kevin Durant when he hurt his knee, and we're like, you know, he's playing the way he's playing. You could tell he was favoring that side, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, popped Achilles, and it's like, you know, Bob Myers comes down, who's the GM, and is like, you know, got his eyes wide open. He's like, oh, you know, I had a feeling this was gonna happen. I didn't want this to happen. Now it happened, and that was his days in Golden State were done after that.
Yeah, that's tough about basketball. Like, at least football, it's, you know, maybe every 7 days, maybe a fifth day, you know, if it's a Thursday night game or a Monday night football or something, you know. But in basketball, it's repetitive, right? It's just compounding. And people think that working out, the important part is the exercise or the actual, like, you know, the component to make yourself better. Well, the way I look at it, it's the recovery. You have to understand about recovery. You've got to get that tissue healed properly so then you can go ahead and push during the game. And that's what's tough about basketball, hockey, these sports I play like every day, baseball like that. That's why it's very crucial how to stay tuned up with your body, how to really recover and be cognizant of like, do I have an injury? Is it pain or is it just like soreness? You just got to have a right provider like myself to give you that objective finding, the truth about what's going on.
Where are you? Where do you stand on the whole in football? You know, there's a big discussion right now about like turf versus grass. Where are you on that? Do you think it really matters?
Yeah, definitely 100%. You've got to get off that turf. Grass is where it's at. You know, you can look at the Achilles injuries that are popping up everywhere. I mean, look at all the injuries. And first of all, everybody's getting faster. They're getting bigger. So just on physics itself, right? Something has to give. If the ground doesn't give, then the next thing's gonna give. That's your ACL, Achilles, you know, AC joint. Something's gonna give. So that's why I always feel that when you're about to go on turf, especially in some turfs are even worse than others. Mm-hmm. So when you start seeing that really like that beautiful grass that's artificially held, get ready for the injuries. And it might not be that game. It's just that the next game will show up the real bad injuries.
Right, because you've done so much action on that one field, and then you're changing, you know, your texture. Where you're changing, you know, how much you're driving on a different surface, right?
Yeah, I mean, because if you're going and you're driving, you do that, you know, the typical collision, right? So when you have a collision in the grass, you give a little bit. The cleats will grab the ground a slight little bit. Well, on turf, there's no give, right? So something has to give. I mean, something's going to be compromised, and it's going to be not the ground. It's not the contact. It's going to be your tissue. It's going to be something in that knee, shoulder, maybe your low back, something. And it may even go up to the brain right after the concussion stuff. So that's why it's like turf for me is like they're gonna. I give it like 5 more years until they figure out how to get every stadium into like natural stuff.
Really interesting.
I mean, we're gonna see because Cleveland just got approved for a new stadium with turf. So this should be very interesting. And really? Cleveland always had natural grass.
Beautiful field.
Yeah.
Really, I would. You know, just like Vegas and Arizona, they have that, you know, indoor facility, yeah, but they have that turf that goes
in and out. Yeah, they pull it in and out.
Yeah, I'm surprised they went turf, unless they have some kind of special material where, you know, how it's that blades of plastic grass, and there's like a chunks of little rubber in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But believe it or not, that sounds neat and everything, but
that's the worst, right?
Yeah, yeah. You get the worst rashes from that stuff.
Yeah, and if you don't disinfect that properly, that could be on some really bad. Bad stuff.
Check out part 2 of our interview with Dr. Tommy Rhee later this week.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. embrace the colorful chaos, and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Instagram account at Fade Route DN's Fade Route Podcast. And you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this year's show, takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week? That'd be FIFA. FIFA, who is trying to insert some private equity into the beautiful game. And ultimately, Gianni Infantino might be losing his job over this. It has been firmly rejected. So, good job by UEFA, I guess. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got the general manager of the New York Yankees, and that's Mr. Brian Cashman. Failed to get relief pitching and failed to get a catcher at the trade deadline. Austin Wells, the current catcher on the New York Yankees, is batting 167 with 8 home runs and 16 RBI. For over 200 plate appearances, as he said earlier. Yankees were down 6 runs in the middle of the game last night. They rallied to score 7 runs and take the lead. And then they gave up 6 runs the following game.
Oh, shit.
Brian Cashman, you are my legitimate star of the week. Number 2, former Miami Heat Toronto Raptor Chris Bosh. Fans are getting on LeBron James for going to Philadelphia and chasing rings. Chris Bosh defended LeBron by saying, Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, they chased rings too. Huh? Did Mike really chase rings by going to play for the Wizards? Kobe didn't go anywhere. He stayed and played in LA. Did people come there and play with him? Sure, but he wasn't chasing rings. Chris Bosh, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Chris Bosh, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number 3, quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Aaron Rodgers. On the Pat McAfee show, he decided to cede his time to talk about Dr. Anthony Fauci and ESPN's coverage of Mike Vrabel and Diana Rossini. Because we give a shit. Just seemed like the wrong place and the wrong time for the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers to talk about Dr. Anthony Fauci and to talk about Diana Rossini and the head coach of the New England Patriots. You're supposed to not be a distraction. Ooh. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers come out and say they completely side with their quarterback and support him opening up his mind and speaking freely on these subjects on an ESPN broadcast. What are we doing? What is happening? Aaron Rodgers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, you can't argue with a lot of those. And what the fuck is Aaron Rodgers thinking? What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? I gotta start. I gotta start with Jackson Dart. He plays on the edge. He has plenty of fight and grit and piss and vinegar and all that stuff. But why would you toss the ball after scoring a touchdown in training camp? Why would you toss this ball at one of the defenders on your own team? Your own team. Greg Newsom gets hit in the helmet with this ball. And then, aw shit. we now have a dust up in Giant training camp. Coach John Harbaugh is unimpressed, and frankly, me too. It's not like the Jamar Chase thing where you're competing, right? And shit happens when you compete. This was just showboating and just being an asshole. Showboating and being an asshole is what got you in the blue tent God knows how many times last year. More of professional growing pains for one Mr. Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Anthony Volpe. Once the cornerstone of the Yankee farm system, once thought of as the guy that would replace Derek Jeter, got sent down to AAA after yesterday's game. 240, one homer, 19 ribbies. Yikes. Confidence is completely shot. His inability to play shortstop is glaring to the point where the Yankees just had to cut bait and send him down to AAA, along with Jason Dominguez, another former top prospect. Interesting. Anthony Volpe, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, I have to go with the new expansion team for the WNBA, the Cleveland Sirens. I'm not in love with the name. I'm just not in love with the name. There are so many options that you could have chosen. And it just is underwhelming. In a series of underwhelming name issues in Cleveland, after the whole Guardians thing, I get it's a tie to Lake Erie, but what are the Sirens? The Odyssey just came out, people. We know what the Sirens are. There are creatures or women who sang and ultimately led sailors to their deaths. Is that what we're talking about here? It just doesn't strike fear in my heart. Maybe it's me. Cleveland Sirens, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast and vote. And vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.